Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show of PLR. This is PLR. It is Monday, the 9th of August. Where is this month going? So much stuff to tap into today in today's show. Really, really looking forward to it today. So many good things to get into, so many things to touch on. Wow, so many places to start. Don't really know where to start. So many places to start. I will say this. CJ Holmes, college basketball writer for The Athletic, will be joining us at about 1:15 today. I do want to touch on what's going on with ASU. Lost a great one in college football. Want to touch on that. Got a story I'm going to play from an interview I did about a couple years ago. I think today, obviously, makes a lot of sense to play that from Zach Crockett, who played for Bobby Bowden, a story that he told that, honestly, is one of the funniest stories ever. So we'll play that. We'll relive that as well. Just so much stuff to get into today. Like I said, CJ Holmes joining us a little bit later to get into a lot of stuff that's going on. I want to do some Olympic wrapping up, ladies and men both winning the gold. Touching on the Olympics just in general, a lot of stuff going on with the NBA. As you know, that it is summer league right now, some more moves, who's out there, all that good stuff. And then when CJ comes on, I want to get into NIL a little bit. He is a former college athlete, so definitely want to touch base with him in regards to that. We'll do all that right here on the Cave Show with PLR. Like I said, this is PLR. It is Monday, the 8th of August. Thank you for hanging out with us today. The show is brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That is Alma School in Chandler Heights. Get your tickets down there. Check them out. Let them know that PLR sent you. 10% off of your cigar purchase. You too can become a club member. Get you access to the members lounge. Everything you need is back there. Tons of TVs. They do serve beer and wine. Just everything you need is at your disposal. You also can just come in and chill. You don't have to be a member. Still plenty of great places to sit down, relax, watch all the TVs. They have all the games. So you definitely want to check it out. One of the best selections of sticks in the valley. If you can't get down to check them out, definitely go to Stogie World, StogieWorld.com. If you order early enough in the day, your sticks will ship the exact same day. All that happens at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. So like I said, we got a lot of good stuff coming up today. Really looking forward to getting this bad boy rolling. 10 minutes away from CJ calling in. So let's open it up for some calls. Oh, by the way, did I mention the White Sox swept the Cubs? All right. Just thought I'd throw it out there. Just because. Anyway, let's throw it out here. 917-889-7828 is the number. 917-889-7828 is the calling number. Let's open these bad boys up. Thanks for holding. Okay, so a PLR.
Okay, you got your serious sweep. Congratulations.
Hey, I'll take it. I told you, any day I wake up and the Cubs lose, it's a great day.
For some. For others, maybe not so much.
Hey, I'm not worried about them. They worry about their own team over on that side of Chicago.
Yeah. Chicago, the Cubs are really suffering now. And it's just a shame, though, that over the weekend we lost, you know, Bobby Bowden. What a legend. What a shame, though.
Yeah, incredible coach, incredible person from yes. everything I ever heard about him. Incredible. Incredible person, incredible coach. A legend. There will never be another coach like that that turns – a lot of people don't know this, but Florida State was a woman's college back in the 50s.
I didn't know that.
Yes, and they became co-ed, and he turned that school into a powerhouse. Unheard of.
I did not know it was just a women's college back then. Learn something new every day. But he will never be forgotten. Never.
Yep. Never. Never. So what's going on with you today, sir?
Well, let's see. We saw the Hall of Fame game, and like I said, I was not surprised by the result. You know, low scoring defense. First game always brings up like that. You don't expect to see a high scoring 45-41 game with the first game of the preseason. I mean, you know, it would have been nice a little more offense, but as far as I'm concerned, it went just as I expected.
I have no expectation for preseason games. None. I expect – here's all I want preseason to do for me. I want preseason to get my guys that are going to play in shape a little bit, in football shape, take a couple good hits, not crazy hits, and get off the field and wait till the first game. All I want you to do is get out of preseason healthy. I don't care because they're not really running anything. Everything they run is going to be vanilla. Everything they're going to keep everything close to the vest. I'm throwing out every one of these talking points that they give, that coaches give. We're going to keep everything close to the vest. We're not going to show our hand. We're not going to play all our cards. I just don't want anybody to get hurt. And then when the season starts, then let's go. I don't care about dudes that's going to be working for State Farm. I don't care about that dude. I don't care about him in the fourth quarter right now. The only thing I want him to do is make sure my guys that are playing for real don't get hurt.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah.
No expectations. The only reason I even
no
watch it a little
whatsoever.
Bit, none. Because let me ask you a question. How many guys you see go off in the preseason and then the season starts and they don't even play? Because quite a few. And here's the other part, right? You'll see a quarterback, because who's the favorite on a team that doesn't have Patrick Mahomes or Rodgers or Brady, who's usually the favorite quarterback? The backup quarterback, right? And the backup quarterback is a favorite because some dopey fans see him in preseason games going off on the other team's fourth-string defense. And they're like, oh, he's great, put him in. Our guy sucks, put him in. No, your guy may suck. But remember, he's the second string. So if your guy sucks, he sucks worse.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, I always look forward to preseason because, you know, you want to look and see who's going to be, you know, making the impact on the team and the others who are going to be thrown to the bus or like head to the CFL or whatnot. And you get the idea.
No, I get you. Look, like I said, here, as long as – okay, so you're a Cowboys fan, right?
Yes. I'll say it out loud.
Okay. Okay. You're a Cowboys fan, right? Okay. So.
Yeah. But a lot of my colleagues hate the Cowboys.
So let's say it like this. Who's your starting quarterback?
I think we're going to still get Prescott. I think it's going to be the starting quarterback.
Who's your backup?
That remains to be seen.
Okay, so let's say whoever your backup is. Let's say his name is Sid Lukowski, okay? Say Sid comes in the preseason and he has a preseason game, he just loses his mind. Shows out, shows his ass, shows
right,
out.
Right, right.
throws for 300 yards, four touchdowns, and a preseason game. Do you want him to start over Dak Prescott?
No.
No. Okay. CeeDee Lamb plays for the Cowboys, right? Stud wide receiver. Say some joker named Frank Dabowski comes out and catches 12 passes, 115 yards in a preseason game. You want to bench CeeDee Lamb for him?
I don't think so.
No. So that's my point. It's great
yeah.
that these guys are going to find a living somewhere, hopefully in football. Hopefully in
yeah.
football.
Before
but
you go, before we go, though, of course, it was a great effort, with all of our Olympic teams, especially in the basketball. A lot of people are very skeptical that the U.S. men's team was not going to win after losing to France in the opening, but we showed them who's boss.
And if you don't believe it,
get it one of the great performances of his career.
Go to KD's IG if you don't believe it. Listen, on this team, I'm not crazy. I never said they wouldn't win gold. What I said, and I'll stick to it, was they needed some more grunt workers. They needed guys that have positions. And I think when they brought in a JaVale McGee and a Keon Johnson, and they were able to move out because of COVID, unfortunately, Bradley Beal and Kevin Love just can't play anymore off of this injury as of right now. They just didn't need to be there. And then you got Booker and then you got Holiday in, you got Middleton in. Once you got all those
Holiday
guys
in.
I like that. And they were able to play. I like that. And they were able to play and get themselves acclimated to the team and the system. They were going to be fine. They had KD.
Yeah.
They were going to be fine.
I didn't doubt them, though, but a lot of other people did.
Yeah, a lot of people are idiots.
That's
so,
true.
And then the women, good Lord, congrats to them. Seven in a row, what was it, 55 games in a row? They're ballers.
They are.
They are true ballers. So, but all right, my friend.
So who's boss? Okay.
I will leave you to watching your preseason games on DVR for the rest of the day. All right, buddy.
Funny.
Talk soon.
All right.
All right, buddy. Yep. Always good to catch up with Lou. Yeah, always good to catch up with Lou. Like I said, man, I don't care about preseason football. Don't. It's hard for me to get excited for it. I like watching a little bit of it because it's better than nothing. But I don't get too excited about someone having a breakout preseason game. Stop waiting for a minute. We'll get back. We have CJ Holmes set to call in. Cave Show, PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend and I said, "Hey, shut up. Because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR.
Well, welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Thanks for joining us this Monday, the 9th of August. It was a great sports weekend. Great sports weekend. Enjoyed the wrapping up of the Olympics. Enjoyed all that good stuff. Can't wait to touch on a little bit more as the show goes on. If you ever miss any part of the show whatsoever, as you know, we are live every day at 1 o'clock. If you miss any part of the show, you can always follow us on Spotify or iHeartRadio. The Cave Show is brought to you by the Sports Cave. And just remember, if you want to find another way, there's so many ways to get to our shows. Go to sportscave.com, cave is with a K. Hit the listen live button if it's outside of the 1 to 2 o'clock hour, Monday through Friday. It will route to all our shows. Again, that's a way to check out all of our shows. Find one that you like, listen to it again. Find one that you missed, which you should never miss, and definitely check it out. Online with me right now, this is my guy, one of the best writers you're going to meet in the game. He's a college basketball writer over at The Athletic. The one and only CJ Holmes. My man, welcome back to the Cave Show.
Man, it's been too long, man.
I know, man. You know, that's what happens, though. Brothers make all this money. They move around the country. They jet set. They do all this stuff. And then us poor brothers in the mailroom, we just, you know, we get you in when we can, you know. We're just patient.
I don't know about this.
That's all we do.
Paul.
Yeah.
I got a big development for you on today's show.
I'm ready.
Allegedly, my mother is listening into today's show. So, Mom, if you can hear me,
what's up?
There you go. See? And this is when you know when the big timer mom is listening, you know it's on it. It's all on. That is cool. That is cool. What's been going on, man? It's good to have you back on, first and foremost, to talk to you. But to talk to you about sports is always a bonus.
Yeah, man. I've been good. I've just been kind of relaxing a little bit this summer. You know, get my mind right for the, you know, long college basketball season ahead. I'm actually at home in Virginia visiting with my family right now. I'll probably be here towards the end of the month. You know, spend some time with them, you know, regrouping with family and friends, and head back to Philly in a couple weeks with a fresh mind, ready to get to work on this preseason stuff.
We've been a little busy down here in Phoenix with the Suns. They actually got a little busy for us for a change. We had to actually work into the summer. Haven't had to do that in a while.
Oh, you don't say. You don't say. Oh, no, man. I miss you guys out in the desert, man. I miss you guys out in the desert, you know, seeing the Suns. You know, this entire year watching this Suns team, man, I'm sitting here on my couch in Philadelphia watching these Suns play. I'm like, is this the same Suns team that, you know, I was covering a couple of years ago? And, you know, the truth is, Paul, it's not. You know, with Monty Williams in the fold and you throw Chris Paul into the mix, you know, a good mix of veterans and, you know, young talent that's finally, you know, developing and starting to bloom a little bit. I mean, that's what you get. And, you know, now the whole country is seeing just how good Devin Booker is. I mean, I don't think that guy's going to miss another All-Star game, you know, hopefully for the remainder of his career. You know, this is the Suns, they earned a lot of respect. And, you know, it seems like he's only going to keep growing.
You know, I tell you what, it's amazing how, you know, I've been covering this team literally. I started the year after they missed the playoffs. That's when I started. And I've seen GMs come and go and harebrained ideas and bringing this guy in and you're scratching your head and bringing in 3-point guards. I've seen, you name it, you name the cockamamie plan the Suns came up with, I've seen it happen. But in all honesty, when James Jones came in and he stood up in front of the media one day and there's a couple things he said which made me think things are going to be different. One, he said, we can't keep drafting these kids because kids can't play a grown man's game. And how do you expect a kid that's 18, 19 to make it to the playoffs and battle against grown men? So that was the first thing mm-hmm. he said that made me go, wait a second. I think someone gets it. And then after Aiden's rookie year, someone asked him and Monty the same question about DeAndre Ayton being a leader. And they both said separately, they said, I don't want him to be a leader. I just want him to get better. We're putting too much pressure on him. And I thought back to the years before, everyone was supposed to be a leader. Every guy that came up that was 20 years old was supposed to be the next leader. And I remember this from Pledging. A brother told me one time, he said, you can't lead if you don't even know how to follow nobody. So just fall in line and shut up. So I knew,
you know,
right there.
Not everybody's a leader.
Change. No. Mm-hmm. You are 100% right.
Yep.
So
every team
so
has its leaders, and the other guys got to know their role. You know.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Now listen, you play basketball, so I want to ask you this question because it's something I said, and I want your opinion on it. I said I love this new basketball where everyone says everything is positionless. But if you look at the teams that have won NBA championships, everyone has a role. You don't have just anyone doing every job. Everyone has a role. They know what their role is. The point guards usually play point guard. The two guards usually go back to playing two guards. Threes play threes. Fours play fours. And fives clog up the middle. So even though we're in positionless basketball, you're a baller. You know you still have a role to play.
Yeah, for sure. You know, like you said, basketball is positionless. I mean, you look at a guy like, you know, Luka Doncic or, you know, Giannis, who just won an NBA championship. I mean, you know, if you rewind back to the 80s, you know, Luka's size, everyone would automatically label him as a four, you know, or a three man. But, you know, he's handling the ball and facilitating, and you got other guys around him. Like, you know, you got a guy like Tim Hardaway, you know, he's the knockdown shooter. You got a guy like Porzingis, his job is to score on the interior and they'll stretch the floor. The thing is, like you said, you just got to be a baller in today's NBA. It's not about the position you play. It's about the skill set you bring to the table and how well those skill sets fit in with everyone around you.
I want to go back a little bit before that when we talk about basketball, because this is something I'm sure you would have liked when you played. And before we tackle the pro game too much, I want to talk about college kids and NIL and how for years I've thought college players should be paid. I've never been with that. Your education is your income, especially when you're in a revenue-driven sport. Now, if you're in synchronized swimming and like three people are coming to watch you swim, then yeah, your scholarship could be your pay. But if you're a basketball player, women or men, baseball player, hell, for some schools, hockey, if you're back in the East Coast, football, you're bringing in money. Why should you not be able to market your own name and likeness for money? So I like that. What are your thoughts on it?
You know, for years, I've kind of been on the fence. You know, I was a walk-on at Auburn, so, you know, I was just happy to be there. You know, I wasn't, you know, my education was enough. I was just happy to be on the team. I wasn't a guy, you know, worrying about, you know, my parents had, you know, good, well-paying jobs. They helped me through college. I wasn't the kind of guy who was, you know, worrying about putting extra bucks in my pocket ahead of schedule, you know. But I did have some teammates who were, you know, they grew up rough in Georgia and Atlanta areas. And, you know, they're the type of guys that, you know, yeah, they got their education paid for. Yeah, they're playing Division I basketball and scholarship. But it wasn't really enough, you know. You know, so be, you know, some way for guys to, you know, make money off of their name, image, and likeness. But I never wanted that money to come directly from the schools, because I felt like that would lead to a boatload of issues. But
yeah.
I like that, a Bo Nix at Auburn can, you know, get a deal with Bojangles or, and just imagine the kind of revenue Suni Lee is going to be able to bring in, you know, this fall when she's a freshman at Auburn. So I think it's good. You know, these athletes get a chance to put some money in their pocket early, set themselves up for the future. You know, the biggest thing I'm concerned about, two things I'm concerned about, how's this going to affect the locker room, right? Because the people who are truly going to be able to benefit off of name, image, likeness, it's like 1%, maybe 2% of, like, you know, all the athletes in Division I sports or, you know, college sports at any level. You know, are there going to be guys in the locker room, you know, hating on their teammates that, hey, man, I think I deserve that deal that you're getting. You know, I'm only averaging 2 points per game less than you. You know, what do you got over me? You know, how are coaches going to, you know, handle those egos and those personalities in the locker room? And two, you know, a lot of these athletes are negotiating deals on, you know, behalf of themselves. They don't have an agent involved. A lot of them don't, you know, from some of the guys I've talked to, they don't have an agent involved, and they're negotiating these deals kind of, you know, on their own accord. You know, the compliance office and you know, different college programs, they can educate you as much as possible. At the end of the day, they can't make those deals for you. So, you know, I'm concerned that, you know, maybe a couple of athletes will get, you know, screwed out of money or, you know, taken advantage of. Those are some of the biggest things I'm worried about. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, some of these athletes are getting the bag. I mean, look at what De'Aaron King is doing at the University of Miami, the quarterback.
Oh, my
God,
yeah.
This dude just signed a deal. He just became the first athlete to sign a deal for a pro sports team. Like, how does that even work, first and foremost? But, you know, guys are taking advantage, and, you know, and they should, and they should.
Let me ask you this. On the line is C.J. Holmes, college basketball writer for The Athletic. But let me ask you this, though. When you said something stood out to me, you said guys on the team may feel, you know, some kind of way if someone else is making more than they are, but they're only a couple points more than them. Is that any different than it is now, though? Because if you're on a team and you're a star or you have the star name, doesn't that get you more swag anyway? Now, it may not have been in the form of outright cash money, but once you treat it a little different by the university, maybe by the other students, or there, it seemed to me, no matter where you are in life, where you are status in life, those that have a higher status will always get a little bit more.
I mean, yeah, that's true, but, you know, at the end of the day, Paul, at the end of the day, it comes down to production, right? You know, you could be the, you know, the best looking on the team, be the funniest, you know, be the best at, you know, speaking at team functions and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, if you're not the guy leading the team in scoring, you know, if you're not an integral, you know, highly productive, you know, member of the team, you know, no one's really gonna be all that concerned with you. At the end of the day, the big names are the big names because they earned it, right? They're the big names because they're out here averaging 17 points per game. They're the big names because they're, you know, leading the conference in scoring. You know, so, you know, it is what it is. But at the end of the day, that, you know, jealousy is an element to this stuff. At least I feel like it is. You know,
right.
There is going to be the guy that's, you know, there is going to be the guy that's, hey, you're the leading scorer on our team. It's basketball-wise, right? Hey, you're the leading scorer on our team. He's averaging 20 per game. He has all the endorsements. Well, you know, then there's me, or, you know, a different guy, player B, who is averaging, you know, 14 points per game. He's leading the team in assists, but he's never going to get the most clout because, you know, he's not the leading scorer. You know, maybe that leads to some tension in the locker room. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think it's just human nature, and I think it'd be foolish to assume that none of that. I think it would be foolish to assume that kind of stuff won't be going on.
Yeah, no, I can see that. I definitely can see that. I tell you what, the one thing I did disagree with, and by the way, if the guy got, I forget who you said, was it Knicks, got a deal with Bojangles. Bojangles, I'm telling you right now, if you guys want to offer me any type of endorsement deal, I'm going to take it. I am a Bojangles fan. So let me just get that out there right now. Y'all, if y'all want somebody, I'm your man right here. So, but when you look at it, though, it's not coming from universities either. Do you think it'll slant where kids go more than what it's already slanted down? So will Alabama in football or Ohio State get even more of an advantage over the schools than they have now?
Absolutely. I mean, it's one of those things that's going to go unspoken, but it's going to be one of the things that a lot of coaches do. I mean, they're going to have deals already lined up for these, you know, students or these student athletes, you know, when they go on visits, you know, when they're deciding where they want to go to school. I mean, they're going to be like, hey, you come to, you know, just throwing out random names. You come to the University of Alabama, and you know, we can't say this out loud, but you know, these are the kind of deals that are going to be waiting for you. That stuff's going to go on. You know, how much will it affect the competitive advantage? You know, I'm not sure. You know, I think, you know, you know, if you're a big-time athlete at a big-name school, there will always be opportunities regardless of where you go. But, you know, maybe the schools like Alabama got, you know, have people involved who have a little bit extra money to throw around. But, yeah, it's definitely going to happen. It's probably happening already.
Better to be if you were advising a kid right now coming out of high school and they want to play college basketball, college football, college whatever, and they had an opportunity to go to a school like an Auburn or, you know, an ASU or a USC, but then they also had a chance to go to a smaller school and be a star and have their name known more. Is it better to be a big fish in a small pond or go to one of the majors and battle your way through with someone who's the same five-star recruit that you are?
It's kind of on a case-to-case basis. It's kind of hard to, you know, to nail it down or make generalizations. You know, me, I always wanted to have – I probably could have went to a, you know, D2 school, D3 school, played a lot, had a solid career, you know, maybe started at some point. But I always wanted to have that big school experience. You know, I had big school dreams. You know, I feel like if it would have been anything less than Auburn University, I would have been, you know, disappointed with my overall experience. And there's a lot of kids who feel the same way. There'll always be the kids that, you know, want to go to a smaller school and, you know, be the man, hoping that will better position them or to get those, you know, NIL deals or better position them to, you know, play in the NCAA tournament or, you know, postseason play or, you know, take the next step to pros. But then, you know, they're going to be the guys who, you know, want that big school feel. You know, the guys who want to wear that Ohio State across their chest or that UVA across their chest or, you know, that Auburn University across their chest. You know, it's just it varies from person to person. I don't think – I think it's tough to say that, you know, it's easier to go one route or another.
Cool. Yeah, I've always wanted that. On the line with us, the one and only TJ Holmes, college basketball writer for The Athletic. Olympics wrapped up, and I don't know if you got a chance to see it, but Kevin Durant and Draymond Green had a nice little Instagram for all their haters out there after they won the Olympic gold medal. Let me ask you, did you doubt the U.S. men's team bringing home a gold?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I remember I was sitting in a hotel in Atlanta with my coworkers watching the Team USA Nigeria exhibition game, and I'm sitting there like, oh, I mean, they were looking bad. I mean, dudes were missing shots. They looked out of sync and out of rhythm. Pops was looking stressed on the sideline. I was like,
Jay Wright was looking like
he didn't want to be there. I was just like, oh, man, it's going to be a
tough summer for, you know, Team USA, you know, men. But,
you know, at the end of the day, and it's funny because Kevin Durant kind of called out the media in the gold medal post game press conference, saying, you know, we saw those power rankings and you guys had us, you know, fourth behind Slovenia. You know, he was like, are you serious? You know, the skill level of the United States is unmatched, and it is. You know, it seems like the Team USA, at least on the men's side, it seems like the early struggles had a lot to do with, you know, the long NBA season. You know, they got a lot of guys didn't have their legs under them. And, again, they didn't have much time together as a unit. But, you know, you saw that all they had to do was get a little comfortable. Everyone settled in a little bit more.
They started rolling. And they rolled right to a gold medal. And it just goes to show you, you know, the type of talent
that we have on the men's side and the women's side, you know, in the United States. I mean, what other teams, you know – what other teams in these Olympic Games can put out a 12-man roster of 9 all? It's unheard of, man. And, I mean, that's just ridiculous. It's like, how can you bet? You know, in hindsight, it's like, man, how can you actually bet against them? But, yeah, in the beginning, and it just seemed like this year's men's team lacked the star power you usually see, you know, on these Olympic rosters. You know, no LeBron James, no Steph Curry. It seems like we weren't putting our best out there against the rest of the world's best. if that makes sense. But, I mean, I guess it goes to show you the RB team is still better than most people's A team. So.
You want to hear something absolutely crazy? I thought they didn't need more star power. I thought just the opposite. I thought the best team that the best thing that happened to the team, and obviously Bradley Beal, I wanted him to get well and get healthy, and I'm sorry he got COVID. But I thought removing him as a star off, and then Kevin Love, look, Kevin Love is going to go in the Hall of Fame. But coming off that injury, Kevin Love couldn't play. He just didn't have – his body wasn't there. So I didn't understand why they put him on to begin with. But by putting on Keon Johnson and putting on JaVale McGee, I thought they got grunt workers that knew, hey, if we get in, we're here to play defense and rebound. We're not going to think about points. We're not going to think about anything else. And then I thought they got that boost when Booker, Holiday, and Middleton got there, especially Holiday, who put pressure on the ball handler. So I'm like, okay, he doesn't care if he scores. He's going to defend and put pressure. And then to me, it's like they found guys that didn't mind doing that niche. Whereas I think if they had more stars, I love Steph. I don't want Steph trying to defend 94 feet, though, like I would Drew Holiday. Mm-hmm. So I think they had the right mix of KD is their superstar, which is he's the most unguardable person in the NBA. And then you got your shooters and Booker and Lillard and then Middleton. Then you got your ball hawker now on Holiday. You got your rim protector. Bam doesn't care if he scores. Draymond doesn't care if he scores. They just want to defend. Then I think you got your perfect mix. So I know I may be the only one on this island, but I was glad they didn't add more stars, but added more guys to the team.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, it had a lot to do with guys, you know, settling in because, you know, again, you know, Devin Booker and Drew Holiday, you know, they got down with a long NBA Finals series. And, you know, those first couple of exhibition games were played without them. So, you know, the team wasn't even complete. So, yeah, it was probably too early to make a judgment on them. But, you know, I doubt Team USA, the men. I knew the women would roll. I mean, I think they won. I think they lost one game and they won the rest of their games by like a 16-point margin. Yeah, I think the image of the Olympics is, you know, that picture of Dana Taraji, you know, and the USA women's were playing Japan, and she's kind of just holding the ball up over her head. But, the ball for Japan's kind of just, like, jumping for it. I mean, look, the talent gap is getting closer in the men's game. I don't think there's any doubt about it, but, you know, the women are going to keep rolling for a while.
Is it fair to say on the men's side, the gap is getting closer worldwide, countrywide. So by that I mean Giannis is a freak. So if he played for Greece, that would make them automatically better. Jokic, if he played, he would make his country automatically better. Obviously, we see what Luka did for his country. But they've got one-offs here and there for each country. So the world, if you were able to take all of them, like I like to see the NBA All-Star game almost do that one year, kind of like hockey does, go world versus USA. But I know they're not because a lot of USA guys don't want to miss the All-Star game because of that. But as the world, I think they're catching up. But individual countries, I think they're still a long way off in beating the best of the best from the USA.
I agree. I do think the world is catching up. Like you said, there are more, you know, individual countries that are, you know, are having blooming stars. You know, you got, you know, Luka in Slovenia, you got Giannis in Greece. Like you said, you put those guys on any team, they automatically make them better, and in a, you know, Olympic competition setting, you know, anything could happen. It's good to see that the talent is spreading out a little bit. Maybe the next Olympics or Olympics after that, you know, we'll see some, you know, maybe we'll start to see some teams that can give, you know, the men, you know, run for their money in international play.
So I got a couple more questions for you. It's good to have you on. I appreciate you hanging out as long as you have. A couple more, and I'll let you get out of here. NBA season, it's about to roll around real quick. We're already in summer league. They should call it early fall league. And then it's a month out after this ends before guys start going back to camp. Last year we heard a lot of players as it wrapped up
you know, complaining about the amount of time they had. They didn't get proper rest. The NBA already said they're running a full 82 this year. Do you think we'll have more guys saying the same thing again, that they didn't get enough rest, or are you at the point, look, you don't want to lose the money, so either lose the money or shut up and play ball? Where are you at with the season starting so quick for guys again?
Man, that is a quick turnaround, you know, especially as you can see, thanks for that. But, you know, we got to do it. You know, we got to do it, you know, after COVID and everything. We have to do it to get the, you know, get the league back to a normal schedule, right? You know, I'm never going to tell a guy to shut up and play ball, but, you know, kind of in this situation, you kind of got to do what you got to do. I mean, you're a ball player. It's your job to play basketball. Yeah, it's a quick turnaround. Yeah, there are going to be plenty of guys complaining that, you know, they're not 100% or, you know, their legs are dead, stuff like that. But, you know, that's why it's a team game, you know. Maybe – I know everyone hates – you know, everyone hates – what's the phrase, Paul? What's the phrase? I know everyone hates when the stars cut their minutes or, you know, miss a couple games to rest. But, you know, we might see a lot of that this year.
Load management.
Yeah, I think there's probably going to be a lot of load management, you know, more so this season than any other. But, you know, that's what we got to do to get through the season, to make sure our stars are healthy come playoff time, something that we did not have really this year. You know, our stars generally weren't healthy in this year's playoffs. And, you know, if they got to take some time out during the regular season, then so be it. But, yeah, you know, like I said, at the end of the day, it's your job to play. It's their job to play basketball and, you know, quick turnarounds happen. You know, these are unforeseen circumstances for everyone, but, you know, hopefully we'll be closer to getting back to normal.
You want to hear something funny? I did some research on this because I know there was a lot of players that got hurt in the playoffs, and I looked at the injuries that they had got hurt, and honestly, some of them were just freak accidents. Kawhi's knee, bumping knees, that had nothing to do with load management. AD gets hurt. If AD went to the refrigerator to get a Coke, he'll probably come back hurt. That's just a fact. He just gets injured. And then I started looking at the teams that went far. The Suns didn't load manage at all. They load managed within the game. So games have got blowing guys out. They gave Booker and three extra rest. CP3 had the luxury of campaign coming into his own. So he got extra rest. Milwaukee, they didn't load manage Giannis a lot or Middleton a lot or Holiday a lot. So they did it within games. So blowout games, they didn't come back in the fourth quarter. So I think load manage without quote-unquote the pop way where you don't even fly guys into the city that you're playing in. And I'm hoping when they load manage, they do it that way. That's the old school, the way us old heads used to watch basketball, when you look on the bench and it's 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter and Jordan already has ice on his knees, I think that's the way you don't mind seeing it, but I don't want to see guys in street clothes all the time. I think that lessens it, and then you get what you got in the playoff game. And I don't know if you remember this, LeBron, Mark Cuban, and I forget who else now, they love the play-in game. Then when they thought they were going to play in the play-in game, then they hated the play-in game. And then they tried to play hard to get themselves out of the play-in game. So I think that's the price that teams are going to start paying for not playing all the time and taking unnecessary losses, especially in the West, that you may end up in a play-in game and anything can happen. So I hope they figure out a way to get the guys to be tired. I don't want unnecessary injuries. But most of the injuries didn't come on because of load management. A lot of it came just because Chris Paul's shoulder, freak injury. And like I said, AD came back hurt. So
natural wear and tear is still a thing, though.
Yeah.
You know,
if
you take a piece of wood and you keep hitting that piece of wood, eventually it's going to break.
Very true. Very true. Hey, if you can't load manage Kawhi anymore than you load manage him now, though.
He don't play back-to-back on the way. Or anything. It's like, how much more load management can certain guys get without basically only playing half a year?
Yeah.
You know,
and that's,
I guess that's where...
And that cheats the fans.
Yes.
You know, when you got stars only playing half the year.
Yes, and that's why I'm old school. I'm sorry, I'm old school. And maybe that's why there's certain players... Look, we do this. We do sports partially because it pays. We also do sports because we love sports. There's no one covering sports that hates sports, because if they did, they couldn't do it justice. But at the same time, I'm old school guy, and I don't ever want to be old man get off my lawn, because I feel that I've grown more in life. But sometimes it's like, dude, you're coming in town one game all season. There's a year-old who's anxious to see you because you're his favorite player. You're just not playing for load management. I just have a problem with that.
Hey, I hear you.
I'm hoping we can see guys on the court as much as possible. With the quick turnaround, I just think that, yeah, early on in the season, we're going to see a lot of the stars. You know, some heavy load management going on.
Yeah. P. Last question. A lot of moves happened in the NBA. Which one do you like a lot, and which one are you scratching? What, that ain't gonna fit, or how is that gonna fit?
Head scratcher. I'll start with my Wizards. Love Spencer Dinwiddie. Think he's a great player. Would I have moved heaven and earth to land him in Washington and, you know, paying him what we're paying him? Probably not. But, you know, we'll see how he fits in alongside John Wall. Also scratched my head with Russell Westbrook to the Lakers deal. I don't know if LeBron knows that, you know, this guy isn't, you know, really that good with stretching the floor. And when, you know, when you got it, I mean, see what the Lakers did with, you know, all the new pieces they bought in. You know, you really would think that they bring in more of a pass-first point guard to kind of stir that drink out there in L.A. So it's going to be really interesting to see how all of those dudes fit together. And, again, got a guy like Kendrick Nunn coming off the bench for the Lakers. Yeah, he's good. He's been good in the past with Miami. But it'll be interesting to see how all those pieces fit together. I mean, very rarely do you see a team completely rehaul their roster.
This offseason, I mean, that was crazy what the Lakers did. And let me ask you this, Paul. It seems like
being a Los Angeles Laker doesn't have the same pride
it used to have.
You know, maybe I'm wrong, but it seemed like when you signed with the Lakers, you know, in the past, you were there for the long haul. You know, you left in your twilight, you know, if possible. But now it kind of seems like a revolving door out there in L.A. Do you agree with that?
I do. And I think it's because of the star. And I was talking with someone about this. If you go back to the history of the Lakers, everyone that's played for the Lakers felt like, if that makes sense. So Magic was a Laker. Even though in Milwaukee, he feels like a Laker. Shaq started in Orlando, but he embraced the Lakers. He almost made you want to forget that he was in Orlando. And then you had Kobe. Well, there's no more Lakers. You can't get more Laker than Kobe. LeBron feels like a rented player, if that makes sense at all. A friend of mine is a big Laker fan, and he said, "We'll forever root for the Lakers, but I feel like we rented LeBron, and I'm feeling like we rented AD. And they don't seem that are as interested as being Lakers as what the Lakers can do for them." And there's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. As a fan of the Lakers, from what he's saying, and from talking to another guy that does what we, he said it's a different feel for the Lakers because you don't really feel like they're Lakers. And because of that, the amount of guys that go there, it's not the same caliber that used to go before. And to me, that all kind of sunk in and made a lot of sense. That doesn't seem like a Laker.
Yeah. So, yeah, those are the moves I'm scratching my head with. My favorite move the offseason, I think, so I would say series of moves is what the Bulls did in free agency. I mean, they landed two of the biggest free agency options on the market, DeMar DeRozan and Lonzo Ball, and they're able to pry Alex Caruso away from the Lakers, you know, with a pretty, you know, team-friendly contract. You know, the Bulls are a team, you know, you combine those guys, a guy like the big man they got from Orlando, Vucevic. You know, you can have those guys throw Vucevic in the mix. I mean, the Bulls are looking pretty competitive next year. I mean, they're a team that have been kind of on the edge of playoff contention for a few years now, and, you know, the moves they made just might be enough to get them over the top.
Well, you know, that makes me smile. As a Chicagoan, look, I will, even though I'm out here and even though I'm down with the Suns, there's no doubt about it. You got to be. When you've been there for so long, you got to be. I am all Chicago except the Cubs. I make no bones about that. Everything's Chicago but the Cubs. So watch them get those moves, make those moves. I was happy to say, now get rid of Lauri Markkanen, who for some reason thinks he needs a fresh start. Well, hell, we needed him to actually play when he – tell me about a fresh – how about putting three games together? But anyway, now's not the time for me to gripe. So I like Lauri, but he couldn't put three games together. But you know what? I guess when you go come from the college down in Tucson, then there are things you don't have. Hey, go Devils. so... so that's all I'm saying. But yo, bro, I am glad you hung with me. I kept you longer than I was supposed to, but I really appreciate it.
Man, Mike, my pleasure, Paul. Always, man. It's good to be on again, man. Hopefully, it won't be too long before we get back home.
Without a doubt, we got to hook up. A friend of mine writes out in Philly over at the Inquirer. Keith Pompey, and we always have a running bet, and I'll call him out on national airways. I beat him last year, so he had to buy me dinner when he came here, and we always talk about me coming that way. So don't be surprised if you look up in the city of brotherly love and you see me coming at you.
Hey, man, I know a perfect cigar spot we can hit. You just let me know.
Hey, that sounds like that's up my alley, so I'm definitely ready. Always. Always. Yo, bro, tell everyone where they can read you at and check you out.
Hey, you guys can read me on theathletic.com, college basketball type on those Philly teams where you can find me. And on social, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at CJHolmes23.
Yo, thank you, brother. I appreciate you. And look in your Instagram later today. I'm going to send you a video I want you to check out. I want your opinion.
All right, that's a bet. I got you.
All right, brother. Thank you for coming on. Thanks for hanging with us. And like I said, it's always good to catch up with you.
Always a pleasure, Paul. Talk soon, man.
All right, my man. That's my guy there, the one and only CJ Holmes. Make sure you check him out, one of the most gifted writers in the game. We flew through a break. We got to do one of these. Come right back. Wrap up the show. Close it all down. Right here on The Cave Show with PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
Hey, this is Mikal Bridges with the Phoenix Suns. I'm in a cave with PLR.
Welcome back to the Cave Show of PLR. This is PLR. Make sure you're following us at the Sports Cave on the Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Is with the K. You can also get us at thesportscave.com. There's a website. Again, the Cave is with the K. And don't forget, you check me out over on the Twitter at PLR on Sports. Man, it's always good to catch up with CJ Holmes. That's my guy, 100 grand
Again, like I said, make sure you're following and checking out all of his stuff. Okay, everyone. So here is the deal. ASU football is in a little bit of trouble. Just a little bit of trouble. So they decided, allegedly, that they would do some rule gray area bending, allegedly. The football program is being investigated by the NCAA because they allegedly were hosting prospects during the recruiting dead period. That's from March to June 1st, March 2020 to June 1st, 2021. And it had to do with the coronavirus, the pandemic that was going on. ASU was crushed by the pandemic. They only ended up playing, I think it was 4 games total last year. They couldn't have recruits on campus. Allegedly, they did anyway. it's crazy how everything has fallen out. They've been, Arizona State has placed 2 more coaches on administrative leave while everything is being investigated. Chris Hawkins and Prentice Gill are on paid leave while the NCAA investigates. I'm being honest, this doesn't look good at all. Herm Edwards, head coach, hasn't been, he hasn't named who's going to take their places. This just doesn't look good. And I know today isn't the day we have to get into a lot of this. I had Michelle Gardner on last week, and she said everyone is kind of towing the same line. The company line right now is, we're just going to play football. We'll deal with this. This is an investigation that could take a month. It could take a year. It could take 2 years. Who knows how it's all going to shake down. But right now we're here to play football. So it just does not look good. And if you're already getting guys out on paid leave, and those two are going to join tight ends coach Adam Brenneman, who's already out on paid leave, it's starting to unravel without it unraveling. So I guess for the kids, they just have to figure, hey, look, we're just going to play ball, and hopefully we'll be out of here by the time all this shakes down, because they're still getting they still got recruits committing as of now. So we'll find out how all this shakes down with more information. But for my team right now, football-wise, it just doesn't look good. That will wrap us up for today. Make sure you are checking us out and following us at The Sports Cave on the Instagram, the Facebook, and the Twitter. SportsCave.com is the website. Remember, Cave is always with a K. Get me on the Twitter over at PLR on Sports. Back tomorrow, more fun, more good topics, more stuff to talk about. Thank you, caller, that called in. Thank you, CJ Holmes, for hanging with us today. Everyone, until tomorrow, be safe. Duck and dodge that devil out there called COVID. This does not seem like it wants to go away. So do what you need to do to be safe. Until then, until tomorrow, everyone, take care of yourselves. We'll be back tomorrow. Cannot wait. The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. And you know how we do it. Tips. Bring us home.